Good morning. Hey, one quick announcement before we get started, and that is that it's the end of the year. But the announcement with that is we have end of the year recycling project going on, and you can recycle your stuff, you can donate your leftover food, and you can volunteer to help with all this recycling. If you go to the Volunteer Services website, check it out, it's a great thing. So recycle. When I was about 4-ish years old, a coach of basketball here at Hope welcomed a man to be a part of his coaching staff. And that coach was Glenn Van Wieren, and that man was Tom Davilar, my father. And thus began a friendship that had spanned about 26, 27 years, and a coaching career that spanned that as long as well. And anybody who's a member of a coaching family knows that it affects your life as well. My family, along with the other coaches' families, spent many years up in the northeast corner of the Civic Center. Until recent years, we were booted to the northwest corner of the DeVos. An upgrade, but still a little bit of an adjustment for us. Childhood highlights included trips on the team bus to exotic places like Worcester and Wheaton. And sometimes really exotic places like New York City or Florida. That's a picture of my sister and I with coach's daughters, one of our trips to Florida. The Van Wieren family was a consistent and steady presence in my life from about November into March. And then again for a couple weeks in the summer when our dads would employ us to keep score at team camp in the summertime. There will come a point in your life, if you're not there already, where you will be grateful not just for the good people that God has placed in your life, but the good people that God has placed in your parents' life. And it is a joy for me this morning to share the stage with a man who taught me that miniature golf is infinitely more fun if there's somebody with a hole-in-one whistle running around, not afraid to blow it really loudly. A man who has logged more hours on a stationary bike than I think maybe anybody in this universe. A man who once, when I legitimately was sick and had to skip health die, sent home with my roommate vitamins the size of my eyeball to help me get better. A man who has loved this college, loved this place, loved my family. And more importantly, a man who indeed loves mercy, does justice, and walks humbly with his God. Please join me in welcoming to the stage Coach Glenn Van Wieren. Coach, here you are. You moved, like you said, from the back to the front.
That's
here
a good
we are.
Day. That's
it's a good day.
I'm on your stage.
Hey, you are on our court. We are happy to have you. Coach, I would just love for you to share with us this morning. Just tell us a little bit about how you even got to Hope College.
Hey, I have so much to say. It's going to go quickly. You're going to have to listen closely, and I'll try to make sense out of what I'm saying. 1942. I was born to the a mother, Wilma, a father, Clarence, in Cincinnati, Ohio. There was a reason for that. The first 13 years of my life, I found myself in, the first 9 years, grades kindergarten through the ninth grade, I found myself in 13 different cities in 5 different states attempting to go to school. I hardly unpacked my bags. My father, Kelly, who graduated without honors from Howland Christian's eighth grade. My mother graduated from Hope College with a degree in education. She received her master's, and to this day, she lives in a wonderful place on the south side of Howland. Her claim to fame is that she is presently, at 95 years old approximately, the oldest living Dorian. And She professes that to me every day. God bless you, Dorians, for loving on my mother the way you do. She's got this picture in her room. It's unbelievable. It's a great thing. I moved to Holland as a sophomore in high school. Moved back. My dad worked for the Holland Furnace Company. Wherever there was a problem in a city, the owner of the company sent my dad to the human resource part of the deal. He'd carry out his mission, he'd make things right, and we'd move to another town. However, this is my dad. Irregardless of whatever town we were in, whatever road we were by, his family, under his leading, and my mother, whose father was a Reformed church pastor, we found our way to a church every single Sunday morning and night, I might tell you. In between, it was a life of faith. In Holland High School, I graduated. It was an awesome time moving back here and not moving for 3 years. It was an unbelievable thing to make that. I've never left Holland since. In February 10, 1960, I received a letter. A Holland High School senior received a letter from Russ DeVette, who was the basketball coach at Hope. It said three things. You're having a great year at Holland High School in basketball. It's fun watching you play. Will you come and visit Hope and find out how the Flying Dutchman live? Russ DeVette, men's basketball coach. 1960. This letter, one letter from one man in my cloud, changed my entire life. My life was totally changed as a student at Hope. As a senior, I sat in my living room with my father and mother as a senior at Hope on South Shore Drive after church on a Sunday night in May, end of May. I remember it distinctly. I said to my dad, my mother, in the chair after church, Sunday night, I said, you know, Dad, I think I'd like to be a teacher and a coach. My dad looked me in the eye and he said, son, he said two things. I think you'd be good at being a teacher and a coach. And he said, I think God wants you to do it. When he said that, no man on the face of the earth could have said something more significant in my life than that. It was a great day. I student taught in Grand Haven for a year, and then for some unbeknownst reason that I'll never understand, I was 23 years old, my coaching friends at Hope faculty invited me to join the Hope faculty in 1966 as the youngest faculty member at Hope College. 1966. That was a day, at that point, I was living out my life dream. I could not believe it, that I would be asked to return to Hope College. I did, met the love of my life, Jacqueline. That was a great day, one of the best days of my life. And then I had the privilege of coaching and teaching and working with men that made a difference day in and day out. There's so many people in my cloud. It's just so hard to not think of so many people. And then in 2010, there's that dash, 1966-2010. I retired as the oldest faculty people at Hope. I've run the whole gamut, 66 to 2010. And the ride has been incredible because of the relationships of students. You guys just energize me so much, and it's just been an incredible, incredible trip and journey to be here with, to sit in this chapel and be ministered to by this ministry team to come and know and follow the teachings of Jesus.
Now, Coach, you've seen a lot of seasons, not just basketball seasons, a lot of seasons of life from 1966. Mm-hmm. Dash, as you always say, 2000. A lot happened in that dash.
The dash, right.
And I know a significant part of that is your family and your wife. In fact, the Bible that you have here today is the Bible that your wife, the love of your life, gave to you.
She did.
Back in the day, right?
That's a good day, yeah.
That's a good day. It's a good woman, as he said.
If you're wondering how to find the right woman, okay, if you're just wondering that, my wife gave me this Bible in 1965. We were married in 67, 1965. And she wrote something in it. Here's what she wrote. She wrote, Dear Glenn, may this book inspire your life in love, Jackie. That's a good book to get from your wife, guys, before you're married. It's a really good book.
And I know that you've been shaped by a lot of things in that book. And yeah. The question for this morning is, as you look out at these college students who are here for this particular time and place, what are the things that you wish for them to know, the things that you wish and pray for them?
My life has always been energized by people. The day that my wife and I had our first child was June 5, 1971. At that time, I brought like quotes and signs. I gave her a sign painted on an old piece of barn board. And it said, the most important thing a father can do for his children is to always love their mother, and I always will. So, I'm coaching, she's home, we have four daughters. I think God planned it that way because he knew I was gonna be coaching guys, and he gave me daughters who, and I found this out about girls. Girls love their dads. Not that they don't love their mothers, they love their dads. They know how to love their dads. Anyway, think about this. Think about this. Can I get off this stool?
I knew it was going to happen.
It's sort of like
the
bench.
I wanted to get a bike up here for you.
Did you see me sitting on the bench? And
no,
listen,
never.
Okay, here's the deal. I come home for practice. Jackie's been home with the children. I know the minute I walk in the house, I know what I need to do. I'm home. Love you. Kids. Girls, let's get together, let's play a game. I know what kind of games you played at your house. Here's one of the games I love to play with my kids. Hide and seek. You play hide and seek growing up? It's an awesome game. We'd sit down in the living room, I'd say, okay, kids, go hide. I'd sit down and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here I come, ready or not. Are you ready? And they would all say, they'd all hide in the same place every time. They'd all say, I'm ready, Dad, I'm ready. This is the moment that I live for, the moment that my kids would hide and I would look for them. I knew that one of my daughters, Heidi, our second daughter, would always hide in the same place in our house every single time we played the game. So I would go to the bathroom and I'd look behind the shower curtain. Heidi, where can you be hiding? I can't find you. I'd go to her closet. I couldn't find her. I'd go look behind the drapes in her bedroom. Heidi, where are you hiding? It's just impossible. You always have the best places. I then knew she was under the bed, and I'd say, you can't be under the bed. And I'd look, ah! She'd say, Daniel! She'd come running out. I'd say, Heidi, how could I find you? You always hid in the best places. Unbelievable. I do this with my grandkids now. It's such a great thing. She would come running out.
How much time we have? Coach.
She'd come running out, she'd jump in my arms, she'd squeeze me, and she would always say, Dad, you found me. You found me. I just think every person, every God-given person, God-born person, God-child wants to be found. I think that has just always been a mission of mine. When I took that book with me in 1967, to a Young Life camp in Frontier Ranch, Buena Vista, Colorado, a verse I learned I'll never forget, Colossians, first chapter, 28-30. So naturally, it just comes natural. We proclaim Christ. We do everything we can. We teach everyone we can so that people might know Christ Jesus to full maturity. And we do that every day with all the strength that God gives us to make a difference in God's world. That's sort of always stuck with me. First verse I ever learned was with a fourth grade Sunday school teacher. For God so loved the world, he forgave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him should not perish, but everlasting life. So with that in mind, it's sort of been my forte to think of St. Francis of Assisi. So often I come back to that. And he said, every day, with your heart, soul, and mind, proclaim, every day, proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you have to, use words. I love that. I just love that. So, I leave you with this. Another verse, Hebrews 6, verse 10. We worship a just God. He knows our works. He knows how we show we love him, how we love his people and continue to love his people. And God will never forget what we have done every day of our life, and we will get our due reward in heaven. I love that verse. I just think it enables those verses. Some people, this book, they look at this book as a history book. This book to me is the inspired word of God Almighty. It directs my path every day and may be the same for you. And every day, with God's mercies, being a sinner fallen short, knowing that I'm saved by a Redeemer, every day, through who I am, I try to believe in the people that I am surrounded with and am with. I go to bed at night and I say, thank you, Lord, for this is the day you have made, and thank you for the people that you've put in my cloud this day to make a difference. And then I say this, I say, Lord God, help me be where you've placed me. Help me be in somebody else's cloud. Like so many people are in my cloud. Whose cloud are you in? Whose cloud are you in? It's easy to think about the people who have made a difference in your life. So I'm grateful to run the race, to finish strong. My goal right now, next year, being retired, is to try out for the Duke crew and be the three-point man. And life, if I can jump high enough, and life would be so great sitting with Hope students. God bless you. Thank you very much for this morning.
May you go and live into this day. We are thankful for the good people in our lives, the people in our cloud. Go in peace.
Go in peace. Thank you.